Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want him to hear. This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game. Come on.
So the Warriors lost last night, 131-107, but it just feels so minor compared to everything that's going on. Watching that game last night just felt eerie. Looking at these videos of everything that's going on, the videos of Italy where there's nobody on the road, barely anybody on the road. There's just something going on that feels bigger than sports. So watching this game last night, I did have a few thoughts, and I want to know from you. Chilling on a body text line 95795. 888-957-9570, what your thoughts were on this game last night. Stephen Langford in with you up until 6 o'clock, leading it in to Joe Lowen-Dibs, and we are live. We are in studio today, even though we do realize that a lot of people are working from home and having to stay home at this time. But we are going to be live for you on the air, just in case you are also out and about. We got some Charles Barkley responses to Draymond Green that I want to talk about, and I want to throw out a couple of hypotheticals because there is, you know, I love talking about hypotheticals on this show, and there is a video game that will be making its return. So coming up a little later on in the show, leading into Joe Lowen-Dibs, want to get your take on the video games you wish would make a comeback. But last night, 131-107. They just couldn't get ahead. As soon as Kawhi and Paul George, you found out that they were both playing and you were going to be without Steph, you're going to be without Draymond Green, you had Juan Toscano-Anderson in there for a minute until he tweaked his ankle pretty bad, and then he was out of the game for the rest of the time. And the first hypothetical that I want to throw out there to you on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795, or of course you can call in at 888-957-9570. But the Warriors just signed Michael Mulder to a new contract. Now, Michael Mulder is a guard who came from the Santa Cruz Warriors, and he's played pretty damn well. And he did enough to earn that second 10-day contract. And Michael Mulder, he's a guard. I want you to use that specifically. He is a guard. So I want to throw out the question. If you are a guard in the league, let's just say you're part of a backcourt, and you got to go up against three teams, which are the three teams that you do not want to go up against? Because I'm looking at Kawhi, I'm looking at Paul George last night, and I'm thinking if you're Michael Mulder and you're getting a start in this game, you would not want to play the Clippers with your first game on a 10-day contract in the NBA. But I want to know from you, which three teams would you not want to play if you were just called up for a 10-day contract? Here's Steve Kerr after the game talking about the Warriors' loss to the Clippers and everything surrounding Chase Center last night.
Looking around the arena tonight, it seemed like fans really took to heart the idea that if they're sick, they should stay home. Did you notice a change in the energy in the arena, and was your team's energy impacted?
Well, I don't think we gave the fans much reason to cheer. I mean, we were down big right away. I thought it looked like the crowd got bigger as the game went on. I thought early, you know, but as the game began, it didn't look like there were many people here. And then later in the game, it looked like it was much more filled in. But we were out of that game pretty quickly, so I didn't expect to feel much energy from the crowd.
Is there any news on Juan?
He sprained his ankle, so we'll have an update tomorrow.
Saw Dragon tie his career high in scoring tonight.
I'm sorry?
Dragon, excuse me. Tied his career high in scoring tonight, 23 points. Obviously, a guy in a second day or a second 10-day contract. What do you like from what you've seen from him, and how does he fit in this team maybe long term? And how have you guys been approaching that?
Well, he's a big who can space the floor and make threes and he can pass and he fits our style pretty well. So I think he's played very, very well, and we'll see how it all goes going forward. But I'm a fan. I like Dragan. I think he came to us after playing well in the G League, and he's got a lot of potential. And I think he's gained confidence as he's played here, and he's done a really good job.
Steve, do you think your guys got a little demoralized? And if so, do you think that's part of learning, part of the lessons you learned as a young player in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing probably the deepest team in the league. You know, the Clippers are loaded and big, strong, physical team and took it to us right away. And, they were knocking down threes left and right. If there was anything I was disappointed in the first half, it was just our three-point defense. I mean, the Clippers made some that we couldn't do much about, but there were a few that we didn't close out to the shooters, and I was disappointed in that. But, yeah, we got down big, and they took it to us, and you know, they're obviously a great team. So we got a little bit down, but I thought our guys fought hard in the second half and stayed with it, and that was important.
One guy that plays on the Clippers who is going unnoticed as far as free agency, because when we're talking about this offseason and we're talking about guys that the Warriors want to add, we're always looking at the Giannises of the world. We are aiming very high whenever we're focusing on bringing in another superstar. Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think that they got their starting lineup pretty solidified. In trading Andrew Wiggins, a first-round pick, whatever, and doing all that for another superstar, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Andrew Wiggins with another 21-point night, but a guy who was playing on the Clippers who is going to be a free agent in this offseason who I would not mind the Warriors trying to sign if they can, and that's going to be Montrezl Harrell. I like his game. I think Montrezl Harrell as a power forward coming off the bench, giving you some rebounding, getting you some guy, someone who could go to the rim, someone who can be a capable rotation player, because you got a good set of talent on the team that could be rotational pieces, but also you don't know how they could really perform whenever they got another starting lineup in their hands and they're just getting other teams' best efforts. Steve Kerr said last week that this Warriors team is not getting the best effort from their opponents. So I think if you could find a way, it doesn't look like they're going to sign Montrezl Harrell for next season. And if the Warriors do find a way, they would have the money. They'd be able to pay him whatever it would take, maybe a 1-1, you know, a one-year deal with a one-year option. Maybe they could do that, but I think one guy would be Montrezl Harrell. I think he's getting overlooked, and I think he would give the Warriors something that they wouldn't necessarily have on the bench. Chilton Autobody text line 95795, 888-957-9570 if you agree with that assessment. But one guy who is a big man is Marquese Chriss, and he hurt his ankle last night, but he'll be fine. Here's Marquese Chriss in the postgame talking about what it was like to play in Chase Center during these times.
Chris, did you notice different vibe in the building tonight?
Not really. I mean, I'm so focused on the game, I don't really think about nothing else. But, you know, I mean, you could tell that there was a little scarcity. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a basketball game for us, and we're just going to try to compete as best as we can.
What happened to your, I think it was your right knee on that collision, I don't know, like third quarter?
Just bumped knees. Hit me in the side of my knee. It was more like a dead leg than anything. But I felt like I was more of a nuisance out there trying to limp around, so I asked to come out. But I'm fine. Nothing's wrong with it. It's a little sore, but it is what it is. Just bang, bang thing.
You mentioned some of the scarcity out here. Obviously, you know, concerns, health reasons and whatnot.
I'm curious as to how maybe your day-to-day has changed. Obviously, you know, we're not in the locker room anymore. Kind of some of the regulations have changed, you know, the daily operating procedures. So how have things changed for you in the last few weeks, and how have you kind of mitigated some of these problems?
I mean, like I said, I don't really leave my apartment. I don't do much. But here, just fist bump people. Like I said earlier today, just washing my hands excessively, trying to limit as much as I can, or, you know, be precautious instead of trying to be reactive to the problem. But I don't work for the CDC, so I don't really have the inside scoop on what's going on. So just making do with what I can.
What was it like having Kai Bowman back tonight?
No, I love playing with Kai. Pauls. He's a good point guard. You know, he speeds up the game for us, you know, and makes us really pick up our pace. And I think me and him have pretty good chemistry. So I think I enjoy playing with him, and we understand what we need to do from each other's, from a standpoint. You know, on offense, he knows where I like to be, and I know where he likes to be. So I think it benefits us a lot.
It looked like their early start kind of got you guys down a little bit. How hard is it to come back against a team that's as loaded as these guys?
You know, we're a young team, myself included. So, you know, I think we need to start off games with energy. We have to, you know, act like we're fighting for something. You know, and it's hard to fight upstream a whole game against a team that is, you know, contending for a championship when we don't really have an ISO type of player. So we have to execute, and we have to do the little things, you know, that most people don't want to do in order to compete in games. You know, I thought we started off kind of slow. You know, we'll make our run, but, you know, like a veteran team, they counteracted our run, you know, pretty much the whole game. So, like I said, we're fighting upstream a lot, but we try to make the second half just a growing period for us and just make the most out of it.
I know it's all just speculation at this point, but if you do end up having to play in an empty arena, is that going to affect how many of you guys play at all? Is it, like, even from a mental standpoint, or just, you know, like a no crowd, you know, getting you guys gassed up or anything like
that? I mean, I play basketball to play basketball. You know, at the end of the day, we're going to do our jobs just like everybody else has to. You know, we would love to have the fans there supporting us and things like that. But if it comes down to that point, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to play basketball and just do what we do.
It's my kind of player right there. No, I just stay home. I don't really go out that much. He's taking precaution already, even though he doesn't do much. He's already taking the precaution before coronavirus even became a thing. This is, it's pretty wild just to witness what's going on. This is a relatively historic time. This is going to be, we're looking back on this. We always look back in sports whenever there's a strike or a holdout, the lockout, whatever. But we're going to be looking back at this as a time in sports 30 years down the line as the year when there was an epidemic or a pandemic, excuse me, just going over the nation, and we had to put a stop to sports, or at least try and contain sports as much as we can. Watching these Champions League games yesterday with no fans, it was odd when there was a goal and they were supposed to celebrate. That's the part where the fans get most involved whenever it comes into soccer. Obviously, they have the chants and the songs that they sing, but when there's a goal and the player goes to celebrate, the fans are a part of that celebration. So when there's a player scoring 4 in one game and there's no fans to be there, it's just different. It's just different. And from the 650, give Pascal a chance. Oh, I'm not saying that if the Warriors sign Montrezl Harrell that it's just a replacement for Eric Pascal. I think that that could be a fantastic part of the rotation in a lineup next season. If you can maybe put Eric Pascal at small forward, get Montrezl Harrell at power forward, and then have Marquese Chris as the center, have that coming off as your bench, and then you maybe draft a big man. If you can get Wiseman, get a guy to play center. I don't know what's to come with Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney, his injury seems pretty serious at this point. I don't know if he's going to play for the rest of the season, so it's a question of whether he can get back up to game speed. But I think signing Montrezl Harrell would only benefit the Warriors more than it would hurt them. All right, coming up next, if you haven't heard it yet, Charles Barkley responded to Draymond Green. We'll get to that next. Stephen Langford, Chilton Autobody, text line 95795, 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford doing on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations throughout the Bay Area, we're the winning choice for professional builders and contractors. That's Golden State Lumber at goldenstatelumber.com. From the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. From the 650, it's scary seeing people with masks in the stands. It's different. We're in an unprecedented time within sports and how this is impacting the world of sports. It is different watching these games yesterday. It started with it became real when if you start watching Champions League games, when you see no fans in the stands at all during an event in which there are thousands of fans, tens of thousands of fans going crazy, and you don't see any of it during Champions League. That's, for me, when it became real. And then watching this game yesterday, the place would pile. It's not just because the Warriors are a bad team. That place would pile in if the Clippers are coming to town, and you're seeing both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Yeah, by the way, when you don't have a full set, when you're in a time when the arena will not be full and they know it, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both show up. And they actually give the fans that are there what they'd want to see, which is a Kawhi Leonard, Paul George type of performance. Kawhi Leonard, he had a good game last night, scoring 23 points on 14 shots. He only played 25 minutes. But I didn't expect either of them to play. It was a discussion on the show yesterday, is which one do you expect to play, Kawhi Leonard or Paul George? Can't believe they actually came out for this one. From the 510, excuse me. After that beatdown the Clippers lost last night, the Dubs need to bounce back with KD in the house. Did not know whether Kevin Durant was going to be traveling with the team or not. And then you watch, they're in LA, the Nets get the win, and Kevin Durant is there. So that means that Kevin Durant will most likely be at Shea Center. That's going to be a big one for tomorrow night. With Steph's return, you're going to have Kevin Durant there. There's going to be the interaction after the game that everyone's going to want to keep an eye on. You won't want to miss the end, because everything that you're going to want to see may not even be happening within the game. It would happen after the game. You'd want to see Steph with the shirt up. You'd want to see him and KD, you know, give each other a hug. And we pull all this wild speculation just because Kevin Durant posted a picture of Damian Lee against the 76ers on Saturday night from his Instagram. I'm not going to make too much of that, because I just think Kevin Durant is a basketball head and he likes watching basketball. And it's not like he didn't get along with the guys here. You know, he still had friends within that roster. He's just way more of an introvert. And it's not like he didn't get along with these guys. So he was probably pretty happy for a guy like Damian Lee, who couldn't even get much playing time when Kevin Durant was on the team. So I don't really believe all of that on Saturday and all that speculation that surrounded Kevin Durant. But that will be about as interesting of a game as you're going to get for the rest of the season. And it's also a question of whether they'll let fans in or not. There's a lot of that going around, and it's weird. We're all such big fans of sports, but when something really bigger than sports happens and you get these events that have large gatherings of people, and you understand that within these large gatherings of people, when you got something like the coronavirus, which is easily spread, it's contagious and everything. It's different. I even have a tough time talking about it. I don't know if you listened for the past couple of days, but this is just an unprecedented thing. And my first time as a radio host, even dealing with something remotely like this. But this isn't my first time as a radio host dealing with something like this. We had the Draymond versus Barkley beef, which has been it's something to pay attention to. It's fun watching these two guys who know how to talk. Charles Barkley has always known how to be just incredibly critical, but also he has some honesty within what he says. And it's also like, damn, he came at him hard. But here's the first piece of audio that I'm going to play, just in case you didn't hear it. We've been playing it incessantly, but I'm going to play it again because it's great. Here is Draymond calling out Charles Barkley.
Play it off. A lot of people can't even talk to me about basketball. Not smart enough. So.
The same fans that were in your corner before.
It's not good. My family love it. It's all that matters.
Do pay any attention to that chatter? Obviously, the guys like Barkley, but beyond that.
No, Barkley should stop before I go take this job, though. So I can do that well, too. He already didn't make enough money playing, so he need that job. He should stop talking to me. I like to, you know, tendency to end people. So he should stop before I take his job.
Not soon, though, right?
If he keep talking, then I'll take it soon. Sooner than he thinks. So, yeah, he probably should be quiet. He also can't talk basketball to me either. Not smart enough, not qualified. No rings, can't sit at this table.
All right, good.
Okay. And old TMZ caught up with Charles Barkley, and here is Charles Barkley's response.
My job is safe. You know, Dan, Draymond Green, he's a nice guy. I like Draymond, and he's a good player. But you know what he is? He's like the guy in the boy band who's the least important member. And he think the crowd is like cheering for him. He doesn't realize he's standing next to Justin Timberlake. Yeah, he's the least famous person in the boy band, and he thinks he's a star.
So he's Joey Fatone.
You know, I'm not going to talk about Joey. I know Joey.
Okay, Lance Bass. He's Lance Bass.
Stop it, man. We're not going to insult anybody. But he's like in the boy band, who's lucky to be in the boy band. And, like, he think all the girls are screaming for him. And, like, no, they're screaming for Justin Timberlake. You're just in the band. Enjoy being in the band, because you're never going to have any hit singles. But he's a nice guy. I like messing with him. I do. I like messing with him. But he don't have a face for TV. He's got a face for radio, so he's not going to get my TV gig.
Excuse me, that is from the Dan Patrick Show. That is Charles Barkley responding to Draymond. That was pretty damn good. That was very good. And I'm looking at NSYNC right now, and I'm looking at all the members, and I'm trying to figure out which one Draymond. I'm not going to make him Chris Kirkpatrick. He's not Chris Kirkpatrick. No chance. But Justin Timberlake, if we're going to make this into a boy band situation, which Warriors correspond with the NSYNC members? So it would have to be Steph as Justin Timberlake. Joey Fatone is the one that Charles Barkley mentioned, if I'm not mistaken. I would have Joey Fatone was up there. Which member was the number two? Which one would be Klay Thompson? Is Klay Thompson the J.C. Chazet? Because J.C. Chazet was the other tenor alongside Justin Timberlake. It felt like J.C. Chazet could be Klay Thompson. So in this scenario, Justin Timberlake was Steph, J.C. Chazet was Klay Thompson. And then the number three and the number four are interchangeable because for the 3 years you had Kevin Durant, for the two, excuse me. And so those could be interchangeable. Man, that's a tough one to even go with. But here's my whole thing with Draymond and Charles Barkley. You know how on First Take, whenever Stephen A. calls out an athlete and then that athlete responds and you have that athlete on your program, let's look at Colin Cowherd. Anytime he brings Baker Mayfield onto the show, that's going to be must watch or must listen, must watch TV or must listen radio, depending on how you take in the Colin Cowherd show. But man, this is a perfect setup for what TNT are going to do during their playoff coverage. If there is playoff coverage, depending on what happens. I don't know. There could be stuff down the line that might not even take place. But if I'm going to assume that there's going to be that playoff pregame and post with TNT, with Ernie, with Shaq, with Kenny the Jet Smith, and with Barkley, they're going to invite Draymond Green into the show, and they're gonna have, and Kenny the Jet Smith is gonna be the agitator of both of them. That's a good role that he plays. Not only is he the actual guy who gives basketball analysis, but he also is the one that would agitate Barkley and Shaq to kind of get them going a little bit. Well, he would do the same thing, I think, with Barkley and Draymond Green. He did that same thing a little bit with Klay Thompson as well. When Klay Thompson visited the desk and Barkley was kind of being really critical of the team at the beginning of the season, and Kenny the Jet Smith kept on going like, wait, what do you mean by that, Chuck? What do you mean? You know, so he's going to be doing that. There is not going to be any other player I'd want to see at the table there for TNT than Draymond Green. That's going to be must watch. Now, let's just say the NBA ended today. I would, and we can go within the Western Conference, I would tune in to the Lakers and the Grizzlies and maybe watch Ja Morant play in the playoffs. It'd be really cool for a rookie like that to get in, a guy who has been playing the entirety of the season. It would be pretty cool to see him there, but let's just say the season ended today. It would be the Lakers and the Grizzlies as the one in the eighth seed. I would tune in solely for the purpose of watching Draymond Green versus Charles Barkley. Let's say it was Clippers-Mavs. That would be one I'd be interested in just so I could watch Luka in the playoffs and how he'd do. I'd actually tune into that more so for the game. So Clippers and Mavs, that'd be a cool little matchup, although I think the Clippers would handle them, you know, easily. But in the end, I would actually want to watch that matchup. The Nuggets versus the Rockets. I mean, who would want to watch the Nuggets versus the Rockets? And the Jazz versus the Thunder, I would, if they put Draymond on with Barkley, Shaq, Ernie, and Kenny the Jet Smith on TNT, and it's for game three of the Jazz versus the Thunder, I'd be tuned into that. This is going to be a perfect way for the NBA to at least grab some ratings here within the playoffs if it happens again. What's going on right now with the coronavirus, it has me thinking down the line, who knows if this sort of stuff is actually going to go down in a couple of months. But if it does, that's what's going to bring in viewers. Put on Draymond Green with Charles Barkley and let him duke it out face to face. And then it would probably be a disappointment because you'd realize that those two actually like each other and it's not that bad. And from the 415, yeah, Clippers didn't arrest anybody last night. Since when does that happen? From the 510, I met Joey Fatone on Impractical Jokers Cruise a few years ago. He's a really cool dude, but he wouldn't be famous without NSYNC, kind of like Draymond. That's such a tough... That's tough to say. You know, because Draymond only has one team that he's been with, and we've seen Draymond in his prime. So his prime came through at a time when he was with Steph and Clay and whoever. I don't know if that hypothetical is fair to make to say if Draymond was in his prime playing with another team, whether they would have gotten a championship or not. I like to think so. I know he doesn't put up much in the box score, but I haven't really heard much Draymond slander until this year. Everyone was backing up Draymond Green during the Kevin Durant beef after that Clippers game. But in the end, you realize that it was most likely Draymond's fault because he overreacted when Kevin Durant said, hey, you should have passed me the ball in that situation at the end of regulation. So we weren't on KD's side that time. We were coming to Draymond's defense completely. This is the most Draymond slander I've ever heard from the Warriors fan base as far as this season goes, just because they haven't been winning that many games. For the 95, Draymond could be Joey Fatone because after his singing career, look how successful he actually is on other shows. Joey Fatone, very likable dude. Very likable dude. As far as the members of NSYNC are concerned, I hear about Joey Fatone more than I hear about anybody else. Man, what a time. What a time when boy bands were a thing. Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC. It was the same thing, like same rivalry as Cavs versus Warriors. All right, I got to get off the air. I don't know what I'm talking about. Chill, not a body. Text line 95795 888-957-9570 if you want to continue with the conversation. But coming up next, I want to know from you, which sports video game do you feel like needs to make a return? Because one will be making a return, and I'll discuss which one that is with you next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
No one's going to have as good a voice as Nate Talk. Just nobody. It's the perfect voice. The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next day delivery. Next day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. That's Golden State Lumber at goldenstatelumber.com. I want to know from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line as the texts are rolling in, or, of course, 888-957-9570. Want to hear from you, though. Which sports video game do you wish could make a return? Would you, if there was one video game that you could ask for, sports video game, let's keep this to sports because there's just so many video games that, you know, obviously. But sports video games, let's just narrow it down to that. Which ones do you want to see that could make a to make a return? Because we're getting some here on the Chillin' Auto Body text line at 957-95-888-957-9570. From the 925, I'd love to see NFL Blitz back. From the 925, NCAA football, best football game ever. There's a chance that they could bring that back. From the 510, game that they need to bring back, Ken Griffey baseball, when they would strike out and they would say, ah, come on. Ken Griffey, what was it? Ken Griffey Jr., was it Ken Griffey Jr. Slugfest? Is that what they called it on Nintendo 64? I used to have that game too. It was so sick. When he had the backwards hat and everything, it was sick, dude. When he had the backwards hat and you could do the little cheat code with Ken Griffey and every single time you'd be able to hit a home run. What an odd game. That they made Barry Bonds super skinny in that game. I remember thinking that. I remember being in the early 2000s and they made Barry Bonds a skinny player. And it's like, what is happening? What is going on? But right now, the reason that I'm asking this is because NFL 2K is going to be returning. I believe the last one was in 2005. It was with T.O. on the cover. But NFL 2K is going to be making a return under the agreement. Quote, this is per ESPN. Under the agreement, 2K will create non-simulation football game experiences. Jason Argent, Senior Vice President of Sports Strategy and Licensing at 2K, describes it as a deep, fun, and very authentic product offering. They're not a very traditional simulation product. And for me, I like playing Madden, and I enjoy, you know, it's a fun game and whatnot, but in the end, Madden, for me, it just doesn't feel like there has been any sort of changes except for the graphics, the celebrations, everything like that. You know, when I'm watching football, right, and I'm watching, just say, Red Zone, and I'm watching a play from Christian McCaffrey, and I would hear the announcer or the analyst or the play-by-play say, that's something out of a video game. I'm like, not really. You can't do that much in a video game anymore. These players, what they're doing on the field is way more impressive than what you could do in a video game to me. You know, so when they're saying it's something out of a video game, I'm like, well, you haven't really played video games in a while because that was a much better play than you can do in, let's just say, some Madden. I'd be very excited to try out NFL 2K, but a couple that I'd love to see brought back, and this doesn't even have to be brought back, I just want to reminisce over it, but MVP Baseball 2005, you had Manny Ramirez on the cover, and much like the Astros, you could guess which pitch is coming because they put a colored streak on the end of it. So let's just say it was a red streak on the end of the ball. They'd have that kind of glowing. That would make it look like it's a fastball. Or you could see the movement on it. You could see whether it was a screwball. Tim Wakefield's knuckleball on that game, unbelievable. Loved MVP Baseball 2005. But one that I need them to bring back, and I didn't even remember what the game was called, but MLB Slugfest 2004 with Jim Edmonds on the cover, that was, if they could bring back MLB Slugfest, do you remember that game? You could, that was just a really more of a joke of a baseball game than anything. When you were getting on first, you would be able to punch the first baseman with the ball in his hands. And sometimes if you were on fire, you could get on fire. It was the same company that would make NBA Jam and whatnot. So it was the same type of thing. MLB Slugfest, it would have the same sort of announcer with the funny color commentator, where you'd be able to punch the first baseman and the ball could pop out of his glove. Then you can go to second. That was so good. From the 925 Tiger Woods PGA Tour. I enjoy golf games. I'm a big golf game guy. I like those golf games. From the 650, 2K had the best baseball games, World Series 2K. They got to bring back Fight Night, man, way better than UFC. These boxing games, they could be pretty fun, but also they could be pretty tiring. I like those boxing games, though. From the 510, game to bring back Tecmo Bowl. From the 415, bring back NBA Jam, the greatest sports video game of all time, in a landslide. Big fan of NBA Jam. From the 408, that's what it was called, Ken Griffey's Home Run Derby. Thank you. It wasn't called Ken Griffey Jr. Slugfest. I'm thinking about MLB Slugfest. Man, there's been a lot of games that are going around. I like what MLB The Show does, though. I'm big on MLB The Show. I think that the career mode in that is terrific. I like... just it's simple. It's a baseball game. And I kind of equate that to the Astros, too. The way I was trying to justify, not even justify, I was trying to reason with what the Astros were doing and trying to relate to it as much as possible. But the only way I could relate to the Astros cheating scandal was not something I did when I was playing high school ball. It was when I was playing MLB The Show. And I'd be able to guess which pitch is coming, and they'd tell me if I guessed that pitch right. They'd tell you the location if you guessed the location right. If you guessed both the pitch and the location correctly, then it would show you exactly where the ball was going to go. That's what the Astros cheating scandal was like. Imagine how easy it was hitting on MLB The Show like that. That's kind of what it is within the Astros spring training. And people, by the way, they're continuing to troll in Astros spring training. People wearing trash cans as hats in the latest Astros spring training game. Man, I would pay some pretty good money to go to Astros spring training right now. Yeah, from the 510, we're getting a lot of, I would like to see NCAA football back. Having the school's fight song played after you score a touchdown made the college experience exciting. I think it was in 2010 when I had NCAA football. It's been a while. Maybe even 2009. I don't even know when they stopped it. From the 415, NFL Street 2 was amazing. How can you jump off the walls? Michael Vick was unstoppable. NBA Street, underrated. The Street series of video games. Loved the Street series of video games. NBA Street was my favorite. I was a big fan of Drake because he could shoot the three. He was way ahead of his time, that Drake in NBA Street. But he also had just the big Australian dude that you'd get first. I would always play with the Heat for some reason. Alonzo Mourning in that game was legit. But then you'd also have, you know, Kobe, and you'd have Shaq in that game too. And I forgot who was even on the Warriors squad in that one, in NBA Street. I think it was Antoine Jameson who was in that. But anyway, nevertheless, Jay Billis, he's continued to roll them in, by the way. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. I am loving these texts that I'm getting here on just the best video games that need to make a return, because it looks like we're going to be getting a new NFL 2K, just something different than what we've been getting with EA Sports. So we'll see what's to come with that. But I do want to take some of the time here, because we've been having guests on this station kind of teaching us about what's to come with the coronavirus and how it's going to impact our sports. It's something so unprecedented that we don't really have much information on it as much as we can read. So I wanted to play some interviews with guys who know a lot about what's going on. And Jay Billis, he's the best college basketball analyst in the business. And he went on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday and gave us some updates on what's to come within the NCAA, how it's going to impact March Madness, and everything. Here is Jay Billis on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. Let's learn a little bit.
Jay Billis from ESPN. He's one of the best. He's one of the smartest out there, and we are really happy to have him here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. Thank you very much, Jay, for joining us. How surprised, if at all, were you that the Ivy League was the first to shut down its conference tournament?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit surprised at all of it because it's moved so quickly and the decisions are being made so quickly, but they're being made, I would call it, with deliberate speed, and I don't have an argument with it. I think they're all these decisions are being made for the right reasons, and everyone is showing what I consider to be the appropriate amount of caution. But it'll be interesting to see how this goes going forward. I mean, I'm about to go to Greensboro tomorrow for the ACC tournament. They're operating. They've changed some of their policies with regard to access to the locker room, but everything else is going to be basically the same. And with the NCAA tournament coming up, I know media companies are changing what they're doing. Some of the NBA teams have called their scouts back and said, we can do all this stuff on film. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I can't imagine a situation where the NCAA tournament is played in front of no fans or not played at all. But we've seen a lot of unprecedented things with regard to this coronavirus issue.
Dana O'Neill in The Athletic wrote a story today about the 88-89 Siena team that had a measles outbreak on campus and basically played, I believe, their last seven home games before no people.
Go Saints.
So it's not unprecedented, but when you're talking about an event of this magnitude, you're talking about not just safety considerations, but financial considerations, and we all know that the NCAA is allergic to money. So in terms of what they stand to lose by simply playing before empty gyms as opposed to canceling the games outright, it seems to me that if you have to do something, the prudent course is to play before an empty gym. Do you get a sense that that's where this is headed as opposed to just saying we can't play at all?
Yeah, Ray, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, first of all, I think this is unprecedented in the fact that this is not just one school making a decision. This is a pandemic. So, these are vastly more widespread, sort of decisions being made, and the consequences are greater. There's a lot on the line. Now, your question that goes to the finances of it, there are clauses in all these contracts that essentially, they're called force majeure, which is essentially an act of God. So you could cancel contracts, and the question is, who's going to be left holding the financial bag here? Because there's insurance involved, so if they play with no crowd there, they can still satisfy their media rights contracts. So that'll hurt the gate, obviously, and it'll certainly hurt the local economies that we're expecting to have people there. I mean, if you can't get in the game, you're probably not going to go at all and stay in hotels and eat and drink and all those things. So the economic impact is going to be pretty vast. But as to, the NCAA, as you guys know, the NCAA office in Indianapolis, their only revenue is the NCAA tournament. That's it. They don't have any money flowing through that office from football. All that comes through is solely the NCAA basketball tournament. So they would take a huge hit. Sort of the NCAA office itself would take a huge hit. And ultimately down the line, the institutions would take a hit because some of that money's passed through to the schools, with credits for NCAA tournament participation in the conferences themselves. But it's just going to be a question of who pays. And I promise you they'll have determined that before they make any decision. And there's a lot going on, but if it's not the health and safety first and foremost of the players, then I don't know what. But I have confidence that the decision makers are going to do what's in everybody's best interest first. This isn't anything where you're talking about money or all that stuff. The very first thing has to be what's in the best interest of the players themselves.
It seems to me like, given the financial implications, it would be far more likely that they played in front of empty gyms than canceled it altogether. And this is way down on the list of issues when you play in an empty gym, but how do you think that would affect the actual basketball? Because I imagine that would be a very bizarre experience for everybody.
Yeah, it'd certainly be different, but players play in closed scrimmages and practices and stuff like that, yeah. So it's not like it's unprecedented. And they've played you know, the fact they played in AAU tournaments and things like that where there haven't been big crowds and small gyms, they'd handle it. It would be bizarre to watch, but it's better than the alternative of not playing at all. I mean, you know, you've got professional events in Italy that have been canceled completely. And you guys know that South by Southwest event, which probably brings $350 to $400 million into the greater Austin, Texas area, was canceled outright. So you're talking about an event that's going to be held in 14 different cities and venues that starts out the NCAA tournament. And then it goes down to four and one. And, you know, you're talking about millions of people that are going to be traveling around to see these games. At the very least, hundreds of thousands. And then at the very end, we're going to have 2 days where there's going to be probably 150,000 people going in and out of the same venue. And now it may be a lot of the same people, but you're talking about 150,000 people going in and out of turnstiles at one venue. And that's an awful lot to process. And they're going to be coming and going from all corners of the country and maybe even internationally. So, I mean, it's already been determined that when BYU and Gonzaga played, when BYU beat Gonzaga, last week or 10 days ago, that there was a person that tested positive for the coronavirus was at the game. So who knows what the numbers are. I mean, things are moving pretty fast.
That was Jay Billis. You can catch the rest of that interview on 957thegame.radio.com or, of course, now more than ever, it's a good time to download the radio.com app, favorite 95.7 The Game. We will be sending out features of any shows that you might have missed, any point to a show which we want to direct you to. So, again, I can't recommend it enough, but download that radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game for all things 95.7 The Game. But what Jay Billis is saying there, it's, you know, even he can guess what's going to happen, but ultimately, nobody really knows. This thing, it's going to continue to grow and spread, and it's just we're going to have to just react to whenever everything happens. I mean, even now, you could hear me stumbling through my words. Not stumbling through my words, though, and ever talking about these video games here, because it looks like NFL 2K is going to be making a return. Hasn't been in use since 2K5. And T.O. from the Eagles was on the cover. But Backyard Baseball is one we're getting on the Chilton Auto Body text line. I should have started talking about this at 5 a.m. because I could go on for an hour talking about Backyard Baseball 2001. Let me think. You got the pro players coming in. Weird, for one, because Frank Thomas, hell of a pitcher in that game. Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. Incredibly good pitcher. I don't know if they meant to do that, but he was supposed to be a power hitter. And then you got Mike McGuire. You always wanted to choose Mike McGuire because Mike McGuire in 2001 was Mike McGuire. And they made him into a chunky kid. They made him into this chunky, big kid who could hit home runs but couldn't run. He was so slow. Such a liability on the base pass. If you wanted steals, though, you got Kenny Lofton in that 2001 game. Obviously, if you're an original Backyard Baseball guy, you would go with Pete Wheeler, though, if you wanted the speed. Pete Wheeler, the ginger kid with his head moving back and forth. And just to give your team a little flavor, you'd have Tony DelVecchio. And it would look like it was a lollipop, but also it would look like it was a cigarette in his mouth. They had to keep it G-rated for the kids. And he had his sister, Angela DelVecchio. From the 650, what about Street Hoops Pro? That game was legendary. From the 408, Blitz the League was a super fun football game, which was all about the violence of the game. From the 925, Tony Hawk also. From the 510, random question, what would have happened if the Warriors traded Draymond after the incident in Los Angeles with KD? Would KD have stayed? I think if KD practically didn't make up his mind before the All-Star break about the fact that he wasn't going to re-sign with the team, I think that that's when they made the decision that we're going to extend Draymond. I think it was between those two had nothing happened. I think they would have had to come down to just a pick 'em, really. Who do you want to extend and give the big money to? They ended up giving it to Draymond, but I think that was partly because KD had already made up his mind about where he was going to be leaving. from the 925 NBA and NFL Street. That's Dylan from Concord. But these Madden games, and I'm going to repeat what I said, because what I said, eloquent, poignant. You should listen up to when I say this. Not really. But these play-by-play commentators and these analysts, when I'm watching the NFL nowadays, and I hear or I see, let's just use, I use Christian McCaffrey as an example for this last one. Let's use Lamar Jackson as an example for this one. Say Lamar Jackson, let's just say this is the Bengals game, right? And he's got three of the guys in the Bengals secondary. I actually think it was one linebacker and two and a corner and a safety. So it could have been two out of the three that were from the secondary. But he had three guys going at him nevertheless. And he spun out of it, spun out of those three guys trying to tackle him. And then he went in for a touchdown. And the commentator, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he probably said something along the lines of, man, that's something straight out of a video game. Man, that's something out of a video game. What? Those are video game moves. And in the past 10 years, really, I haven't been able to make those type of moves in Madden. It's not because I'm not that good. It's because Madden just doesn't allow you to make moves like that. What the players do on the field to me nowadays is far more impressive than what they do in video games. It's not like Madden NFL Blitz where you could just truck over everybody, you know, and grab somebody with one arm and throw them to the side. It's not like that in Blitz sometimes or in these Madden games nowadays. It's more, it's trying to be a little more realistic, but I think that bringing in a new NFL 2K game, I think it's perfect. And I'd be excited to try it out. From the 415 Backyard Baseball, the computer game. Absolutely. Absolutely. Did I say Mike McGuire? My bad. Oh, I got four or five saying I said Mike McGuire. Good catch. That's what happens at 5 in the morning. I'm flustered. But that game was awesome, though. Backyard Baseball 2001. Derek Jeter, good contact hitter in that game. Keisha Phillips? Come on, Keisha Phillips? You could go yard with Keisha Phillips every single time if you wanted to. And, of course, I'm not mentioning the one and only, the slugger of backyard baseball. Maybe the greatest hitter of all time as far as video games go. Besides Joe Random in those MLB games when Barry Bonds wasn't allowed to be in video games. Pablo Sanchez in the backyard baseball games. It didn't matter which one you were playing. It didn't matter whether you were playing football. It didn't matter whether you were playing basketball. Pablo Sanchez was the guy. Can't believe I called him Mike McGuire. I think I had 20 different baseball cards of Mark McGuire, and I almost just called him Mike again. Now I'm just going to call him Mike McGuire every single time. Adam Kaplan coming up at 8 o'clock with Joe Lowe and Dibs. Jim Barnett at 8:30. And then Nick Friedel, terrific NBA guy who knows a lot about the Warriors. He'll be coming up at 9:05. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. That was a fantastic conversation with video games on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.